And we're back. Another technical difficulty. A year later, and we still got them, guys.
Isn't that funny?
They have gotten fewer and far between, but yeah. Sorry about that,
just
guys.
Forgot to put the power cord in.
Yes, exactly. This little thing we use runs on batteries, and I forgot to plug the cord in. And all of a sudden, we're dead. So anyway.
A couple more sponsors, and we'll get some nice technology to sew these two audio clips asses. Together.
Yeah. We could send this off to someone to do all our editing for us. But until now, this is what you get, two parts. So.
That's right.
You're still here listening. Thank you. If you're not, well, fuck you anyway. So anyway. Donut shop.
Donut shop. So you get in there and you left your keys.
No surprise. A cop hanging around the donut shop. So I roll around back, park, and he wasn't hassling me or anything, but he was probably wondering what the hell I'm doing because I kind of came in a funny angle. So I pull in, park next to the Napa. Just get out truck. Hank does too. Roll in, get our donut, go back to truck, locked.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember consciously, like, I'm not taking my keys out. The cop's right here. You know what I mean? Was my thinking. And
good thinking.
So I'm like, well, this kind of sucks.
Was the cop still there?
No.
Oh, of course he left.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. When I need some help. And he probably had to help me by bashing my window out with a billy club.
we got comprehensive insurance. It's $50 for my deductibles for a new window.
There was many scenarios that went through my mind. So like I say, it's not pouring, but it's raining.
And your truck's on?
No, it was off. Okay. And I'm sitting there, and I know tow truck drivers, and we got a lockout kit at the shop. And
yeah, but what time is this?
It's just a little after 4 in the morning.
Yeah, on a Saturday?
Ew. And I'm like... You know, and I don't know anybody's phone number, you know, so we're sitting there on this. Well, I guess we'll eat our donut, Hank. So he's sitting there and he don't really care. He's a pretty easygoing kid. I'm like, so I'm running through my head. I'll say, well, I can break a window.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't want to do that. I can go in this friggin' donut shop, which they didn't even understand what kind of donut I wanted. I don't know how they're going to understand me saying I want to use the phone.
Yeah.
Let alone a Google machine to find.
Your phone was in there, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, that was the big problem. I would have called somebody if my phone was
there. No.
So I'm like, I can do that. You know, there's no Uber. And they said, like, can't we Uber? I'm like, dude, there's no Ubers in Live Oak at 4 in the morning on Saturday.
You're
dude.
Lucky to get one on a Friday night.
Exactly. It's like, so that's not an option. And I'm starting to think, we're just in Live Oak. It's 5 miles to Gridley. I thought, well, I mean, as we all know, I'm a walking fool.
Yeah, that's right.
And Hank rides his bike a couple miles to school. I'm like, hey, he's 12. He's in shape. And I said, well, we'll have to walk. He's like, all the way home? I said, what else are we going to do, dude? And I kind of hung out for a minute eating. I'm like, maybe some turkey hunters are going to roll in here. They're going to be heading north. Hey, man, just drop us off.
I'm a local celebrity.
Yeah, exactly. So I've since clean shaven a little bit, but I have my big old beard on. I'm in camouflage overalls and a dark flannel. Little Hank has long, he don't have a mullet anymore. He has full-on long hair. And he's pretty tall for 12. So we look like bums, right? I mean, I look like a friggin' homeless guy. So I'm reverting to my old ways. I'm going to hitchhike. We're going to go old school. I'll show you how I used to get around, Hank. Hopefully you don't get picked up by that one guy in the Ram Charger. So I said, well, let's start going. So we start rolling, walking, and it's raining.
Just straight down 99 or what?
What else can you do? That's where I live, just 5.5 miles up the road on the right, you know? And so we're walking, and I'm freaking dumb, and nobody even thought about stopping, dude. I got one person to honk at me. It was the best I got. And it was raining. So, this rain's going to quit in a bit, Hank. Oh, yeah. It's kind of nice being out this time. I said, yeah, it sure is. Just wish we weren't walking up Highway 99 in the dark. And trucks blowing by, water everywhere, and, you know, I'm like hoping some drunk ain't coming to wipe us out. You know, you hear that rumble on the shoulder. I'm like, ooh, get over, Hank. We're in the gravel. And
that'd be some bittersweet irony, huh?
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. It made us took an hour and 40 minutes or something, maybe. I don't know. It was a while.
That's a walk.
And
so now you're close to 6 a.m. by the time you – and you got to get back.
Oh, yeah. And so we get back, and – little Hank's like, I'm done. You know, I said, you know what? And I'm like, hey, I get it. I still got to go help Margo.
Yeah.
She was getting her floors refinished. And thank God I got Sharon's truck there and everything, you know. And so thank God I was getting the floors, or she was getting the floors refinished. So Margo, that's Bert's widow.
Yeah.
Where I was going hunting. And so I had to help her handyman get all her stuff out of the living room. So then come in, you know, then follow up.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, I got to go over there anyway. So I'm just going to, all right, I'm going. So I go. And
you go get your truck or you
yeah, leave? I got a ride to get my truck. And so I take off and I show up and pouring rain over there too. And I get there and it's like nothing, dude.
Yeah.
And because I know where the roost, I know this property. I've been hunting it 12 years. I know this property, the general area where they roost, and nothing. And it's okay, rain. So I go walk. I walk another 4 miles. I didn't see, I know where the roost is. Like I say, a bunch of digger pines. I don't see any turkey shit. There's no feathers. There's no tracks. Not a gobble. Nothing. And I'm looking, and where I've seen turkeys for over a decade, nothing. Mm. No sight of them. You know, I get rain, they're going to act weird, but they're not there. So I did the whole walk, and then it broke loose a little bit, and I came back. I helped get the stuff out. Tried to hunt a little bit in the afternoon. Heard one gobble way, way, way far off, and that was it. And
yeah.
Come home. But I don't know. I'm a little nervous that my spot that has been a gold mine for so many years, for whatever reason, has been changed. I don't know if there's somebody else in there poaching. I don't know. Coyotes, the drought. You know, I didn't have any luck last year.
Mm.
And I don't know if that they just moved out of the country. But not very good. So
it's hard to say without getting there. You know, and scouting a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And the way this year's been and talking to other people that have been successful, they're not really gobbling yet, you know. And that's been my experience.
Yeah, we heard like one gobble when we were there. And I was not good on opener for us. I mean, yeah.
You guys showed up and parking lot was full, right?
No, it wasn't full. It was getting there. It was close to full.
Really? Yeah, but I mean, there was what, 5-6 trucks in there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got there at, you know, 4 in the morning. So
yeah, public land.
Man. I mean, last time I hunted that place, I got there at 3-something. So I was a little nervous getting there late. But I also, you know, we my strategy for public land. I'm always getting like the second best area or third.
Yeah,
best.
You know,
I never go for the best spot. I know where the best spots are. But I also know that I'm not going to get up early enough to get there.
Yeah. Same and you had a plan, so your spots that we went and scouted were available.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, but, you know, I do that not just turkey hunting, you know, refuges, same thing. I always find my spot, and I'm like, you know, I kind of like, I'll let the real hardcore guys fight over the best spots, and I'll sit back and kind of get, you know, get my own thing.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that strategy.
Yeah. You know, I'm just not going to do what it takes to get the good spots out there.
Yeah, me too. I mean, especially getting older, and it's just something.
Yeah.
It's a young man's gig with this fighting for the first spot deal on the public.
I mean, I used to basically sleep in my truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And killing turkey just ain't that important to me.
Not really.
Now, if you can take some time off during the week, your chances go way up. Because Curtis and I went to the same spot Friday morning.
Yeah.
And we got there same time for. And nothing in the parking lot.
Well, we had a full parking lot, and we heard one gobble. We left by probably 9 because just the rain. It was just.
Oh yeah, it wasn't ideal. It wasn't a day.
I wasn't hearing them. I wasn't seeing them. It's hard to stay motivated to sit in that rain.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And
we had one hen walk by.
That's
Curtis didn't even see her.
Of course not. Yeah, Curtis, if you're listening, you're getting called out. You're the worst turkey hunter I've ever friggin' hunted with.
Yeah,
I'd rather hunt with a 9-year-old, I'll
tell you. He doesn't have to worry about how to build that fan, let me tell you.
No, you don't got to watch, Left Coast video on building that fan,
Curtis will watch. Now
he's trying to get me to go next week with him on some private ground.
He'll get one because he's going to keep doing it. That's the way it works with turkey.
Well,
the
if he keeps doing what he's doing, he ain't going to fucking get one. Because I was out there with him Friday, and I was in a hurry. We're going to get to this, guys. But, you know, if you've been watching the story, you've seen I've spent, you know, the weekend up in Tule Lake. But I took Friday off of work.
Oh, yeah. We got to get there for sure.
And so I agreed to hunt. You know, Robert, his schedule didn't work out. He was going to try, but it didn't work out. So Robert didn't go. And then Mason didn't go. So just Curtis and me, good buddy Curtis. And we get out there, we find a decent spot. Nobody's there. I kind of knew where I wanted to go because Robert told me the best spot. And I'm kind of like, I'm kind of in a hurry to get out of here. It's not ideal conditions. It wasn't raining, but it was cold.
Yeah, no, dude, it was real cold that day.
Yeah.
That was unseasonably cold.
Yeah.
It got down to 37 here.
Yeah. So it was like, you know what? I'm not really into this. Yeah. I'm kind of going through the motions. You never know. And so we got, I was really happy with the spot we got. And we're sitting there for a while. And I see something off in the distance. And this is probably 150 yards away. And I have my binoculars. And I'm like, I think there's some turkey. And I look, and he's, no. And I'm looking. I was like, dude, there's four turkeys. I'd say toms. They probably were jakes, you know.
Yeah.
But they were shooters. Males, they weren't hens. They were males. They were fanning out. They were doing turkey stuff. And I was like, cool. And I left my call in cool.
Oh.
But Curtis had one.
Oh, good. Little box call.
Yeah, box call that he didn't know what the wax was for, so or the chalk, so he didn't bring it. So it doesn't quite chalk sound it up. Right. Yeah.
My call got soaked. I got to chalk that up now.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, because now it sounds like shit.
Yeah, you got that chalk's important, man.
Steal pass some of your pass kids. My other beer.
Hey, no problem, Robert.
Join the alcoholics.
Probably
over
the
here.
First time you ever heard that on this podcast in a year. Pass me another beer.
All right, here we go.
Yep, there we go. So, anyway, we start seeing. Well, Curtis gets a little giddy, and that's why you're out there, you know.
Oh yeah, it's nice
and
to see him.
I'm like, just stay put, dude. You know, and I was hoping because they were kind of pecking like they're going to feed down this line. Big open area, and I thought then they were right next to the tree line. And my hope was that they were going to see our decoys and they were going to kind of feed down this line to us. And it takes time. When you're turkey hunting, you turkey hunters know you got to be patient, dude. And that's fucking Curtis ain't patient. So anyway, they weren't really moving. They were just kind of staying in the same area. And then, you know, we're looking at them.
No response to the calls?
Zero. Yeah. Zero. Now, I had him call once, and they would kind of put their head up.
But no gobbles?
Zero gobbles. Yeah. Zero gobbles. And
that sucks.
Later on, when we got over there, I seen you couldn't even see our decoys. The way it was and the landscape, they couldn't even see our decoys. But he's dead set wanting to chase them. I'm like, dude, it ain't going to work. You can't do this. And then, you know, we couldn't cut across this open spot to get to come in behind them. And I'm thinking, okay, if we head way back into the woods and work our way around, there might be a chance we can get closer. We're not going to get in shooting range because of where they're at. There's just no way you're going to get in shooting range.
Yeah.
So I want to just kind of sit and wait and see which way they did, what they did. But Curtis, he's having none of it. So and finally, I'm like, I got to get going to Oregon anyway. So whatever, dude, let's go ahead. So we take his horrible tactic right across the open field because he thinks that they're behind some trees and can't see us. And we get, I don't know, 100 at best, 75 yards from them, and we're still behind trees. We can't see them at the time. We know where they're at.
Yeah.
And they bust out. Two of them fly off, and they flew a long way.
Oh, yeah.
Two of them fly off one way, two of them fly off.
Flapping their wings, like really, yeah.
And they're gone. Yeah. You know? And then so we went up and looked back where we were, and it's like, we were in a good spot, but they couldn't see our decoys from that far away. So it was promising to see those birds, and if I had to guess, they probably didn't get killed this weekend. They were pretty sharp. And then they were out there, same spot yesterday, kind of moved to where they seen them. Nothing.
Yeah.
So, way it goes, man. That public land, it's tough.
They get to the good spot yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh. So, so a lot of people, it's, you know, the crowd's going to dwindle throughout the season. Not a lot of hardcore guys that.
And I think you're right. And, I mean, for me, it's usually dwindle because once I get one.
Oh, yeah. I don't do 3 for 3. I don't try to get 3.
I did 3 1 year just because I wanted to do it. Not on public, private. After that, I've gotten 2. And yeah. 2, that's at the most. And it was mostly because I was trying to go up and see my old buddy, Bert, you know.
One year I did, I only pulled one turkey out of there, but I was on 3 hunts with turkeys. I went with another guy.
That's cool, yeah.
So, the first time a guy took, he got one. It was his first, like, hunt ever, like, killing anything.
That's pretty cool.
And then the next time I went with another more like seasoned hunter, we both pulled a bird out of there. And then the third hunt he only got the shot.
That's cool.
That was like Yeah.
Pulls, oh, yeah. No, pull I three birds year, out of. Yeah. My daughter got one, the youth hunt. I got one the next weekend, and then I got one again the next weekend. And then I'm like, that's good for me, man. How much of this turkey am I going to eat anyway? You know,
yeah, so. No, that's always cool. It's funny you're talking about, you know, your boy being 12 and not being much, like, not having a big interest in hunting. And both of us, we've both hunted the most with our daughters out of our kids.
That's funny how that works. It is. It's a different world, man.
And both, yeah, my boys have gone hunting with me, duck hunting. My son is 13 now. He's, you know, he's killed waterfowl before, but he's you know, he's just not his thing right now, which I'm not the type of dad that, like, no, you have to.
Me neither. I think growing up around it, and the way that, like, you and I and several of our listeners are immersed in this waterfowl thing year round, at some point it's gonna be like,
it's gonna click.
Okay, no, I want to go do this again. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, it's not like that a bad experience. It just, your kid interest change. I mean, he loves baseball now, you know? So yeah, I think that's the way to go. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that their dads made them go fishing or made them go hunting and turned them off from it.
But it's just so funny, because my daughter was always, like, not always, but most of the time she's down. It's like, you want to go hunt? It's okay, let's do it.
Funny how that same with Sharon, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Sharon had a lot.
She got a little flaky on me the last year. She got a little flaky. She didn't like getting out of bed anymore.
That happens.
Older teenager, you know, that don't like getting out of bed. She got that way a little bit. But all in all, like, when she was out here on, you know, leave before in November, it was worst time of year to be out here. But she went with me every chance we could. So
it just goes to show you, man, you never know.
You never know. Yeah. And each kid's different, you know. They'll both go. One of them will like it. One of them won't. And so, I don't know. I'm hoping it clicks with my little Hank at some point.
A lot of we know a lot of dudes that get into it in their, you know, 30s and even 40s, 50s.
Oh yeah. No, even I was late into waterfowl, you know. So,
you know, at some point it might click. If not, could be doing something else that's cool.
Well, it ain't the end of the world, and they'll know there's nothing wrong with it, you know what I mean? So, that's the way I look at it. But so that's our turkey season so far. The only one in our whatever filthy spoon crew or whatever you want to call us, bunch of idiots, is old Jeremy with Left Coast. He got a Jake on public.
Yeah, he seems like he's pretty good turkey hunter.
He's a pretty good turkey hunter. Yeah. So he's got one, and we'll see all these. I looked at the long term. It's supposed to be friggin' shitty and rainy towards the end of the week again.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then, you know, Saturday's kind of crappy. So we'll see.
Well, I gotta look at my schedule. I might give it one more go. You know, the thing about it being out there on opener is, even though it was crappy and rainy, I had my frog togs on.
So you were comfortable.
Yeah, I had my Sika jacket, you know, best jacket on earth, Sika. Best camo on earth. Yeah. Put your vest on next time. You would have been fine.
You're probably right.
I don't know. It was kind of fun.
Which
sounds kind of lame, because, you know, only saw one bird, one hen walk by, but it's just like, this is cool. What else am I going to do? I was still back at my house at like 9:30.
I recommend you try those seasons over, man. This year could be different. I mean, they're behind schedule. They're not gobbling from about everybody I talk to, guides on private, my experience on private, the way the birds I've seen behave, talking to Jeremy. Birds are behind. So.
This weather's been, it's not like we never get, you know, rain in April. Of course we get rain in April.
Oh, yeah.
But it's been cold.
Yeah.
Like, let's get into your Oregon trip here. But, you know, you had snow on the ground this morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know you guys have followed the story. So after our hunt with Curtis, which I'm sure he didn't learn anything from it, friggin' asshole, we left there. We split a little bit early, headed back home, headed north, fired the Chevrolet up, headed north just the way I like it, heading to, I don't know if you say Merrill or Merrill, Oregon.
I think Merrill, like the shoe company.
I was thinking of like Merle Haggard, the singer. But anyway, I reached out to a friend of the show, birdiologist Dan Brad Jones, and I said, hey, heading up there, where's the nearest place to stay? You know, I want to go check out. This is historic. It's been years since it's been flooded. I've never been up there. I want to go see it. So Brian gave me the best advice. Friggin' Brad Jones gave me a lazy response. He just put Merle, Oregon, and that was it. And Brian gave me a little bit better explanation. There's this one place if you want to stay at. I should pull that up for any of you guys. I recommend all you guys go up there. I really, really do.
Oh, it's not this, not like the shoe company, by the way. This is Merrill. The shoe company's two E's, no I.
Okay.
You're not a hipster, so you probably don't even know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know. I don't know that company, no.
Like hiking shoes that used to be like Merrill and Keen were the two. You ever heard of Keen? K-E-E-N?
I've heard of Keen. Yeah, I got some. I got some Keens.
Oh, yeah. So Merrill and Keen were like the top two.
They were like hiking shoe companies. They were like Tevas, my Keens. They're kind of like Teva little sandals I got that rocks like getting stuck in.
I got some Keen hiking boots.
But I think it's called Waimea Lodge, and that's like really close to Tule Lake.
Okay.
And like I say, Brian gave me great advice. He says it's a very cool place, but it's isolated, and he's completely right. But he says that Merrill, Oregon has a good hotel with life around it, and that is the Wild Goose Hotel.
Oh, right on.
And that's what he told me, and it's like, okay, that's where we're going, because, I mean, I wasn't going to pack a picnic lunch. So we went to this place called the Wild Goose. It's a hunter's paradise for pets are allowed, which is always awesome. You're up there hunting, you bring your dog, of course. Right. They're cool cabins. They're you know, redone recently. It's not at all ran in the ground. We upgraded and got a little bit bigger. One came with a kitchenette, and there were two twin beds and a master, and it was a bigger one. You could have got a little one if you wanted, but we got the bigger one.
Yeah.
And it was cool. It's right in the town, so there's a bar not far, walking distance for me, so that was great.
Yeah, perfect.
They have a plucking station. They have a game room with a pool table, a big old industrial stove. I don't even know what this stove wasn't meant to do what it does now, but I'll show you a picture of this thing. Pretty cool. And they're great owners. The guy's name was, what is his name, Mark Sams. Him and his wife bought this place 3 years ago, so they don't even really know.
Oh, the refuge has been dry for about 3 years, right? Yeah.
So, you know, this is going to be a new experience for them, you know. This part of it, the hunting, they're all for it. You know, they're not hunters themselves, but they're all for it. And I think having the bird processing place right on site is pretty friggin' awesome.
Nah, sounds great.
You know, they got a fire pit area you can go out and hang out in. And I mean, it's just, if you're a duck hunter up there hunting and you're going with your buddies, this is the place to go. I would definitely check out the Wild Goose Lodge.
No, we're going to have to check it out.
Yeah. I mean, people that normalize our way of life, I always support. Like I say, this guy ain't paying me nothing to say any of this. They were just really, really nice people, and I really like their lodge, and I love the way that they support what we're doing, you know. And these little communities, they don't have a lot of money coming in other than tourism and stuff like this, so I'm pretty sure a lot of people and a lot of you listeners are going to be putting in for reservations.
Oh, yeah.
I know we are.
Yeah, for sure. Especially the early part. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking, you know, messaging back and forth with David Rank. He's one of our super listeners. You know, he bought couple hundred bucks worth of stickers or something. Yeah. We ran that promo, and he's talking about going up there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, we'll all put in, man. And I don't know how many people can go. I don't know nothing about it.
Yeah. Could be a fun time.
It sounds like a blast, dude. It was a beautiful. It
opens the same. I mean, it's part of the Northeast opener, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So we're up there early, and I mean, it was super cool. I went in away kind of off season, being weather was kind of gloomy, and I mean, I seen nobody hardly. I mean, there was nobody. There's a couple other people in Subarus out there taking pictures and stuff.
I think it's so cool how you hopped up and went out there. When, you know, with the historic like reflooding of the refuge.
That's why I wanted to go, because it's a big deal. And
I guess that Tule Irrigation District pump hadn't been run in many years. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know the units.
I don't know, and I'm hoping CWA is. I hope all you guys listen to CWA, Save It for the Blind podcast. They're gonna have the refuge manager or something on.
Oh, cool.
Next week. And I thought that was cool. I was like, shit, it looks like we're copycatting them, but we're really not, because I had planned this trip before I even knew they were doing that. But it's just an exciting time in California waterfowl that this is getting flooded the way it is. And
well, last season, a lot of people thought that refuge being dry for the however many year in a row was a problem.
Yeah, I think, and I think it is. I do.
Well, I mean, it can't be good.
No.
Yeah.
This huge layover for them, and as the duck flies, isn't shit from us.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a vast, dude, huge wetland. And it was so cool because Tule Lake's always full. So, excuse me. I went up there and I did the auto tour. There wasn't anybody around to talk to. I was hoping to get some more info, but there was one kid.
It's God's country. There's no one there.
No, nobody. There was one kid I ended up shaking down. He didn't have a lot of information at the. They got a new building they built. Has a little area you can go in, and they got some mount. They got some like a bald eagle in there that's eating a snow goose. Kind of cool mount and California quail and some owls. They got some stuff like that. You can go in and check that out in the little marsh walk. Nice. And they showed a picture. It used to be, you know, just hay fields that they restored to natural marsh, and there's a bunch of honkers in there and stuff. So that was cool. And then rode down, took the auto tour, and there's little photography blinds all over. People put little huts up, a little little different strategic place doors you can open to take pictures out of.
Yeah.
And it was kind of neat. And took that up there, and then through the auto tour, spoonie upon spoonie upon spoonie, man. I mean, it had to have been 95% spoonies.
Yeah.
They're all paired up pretty much. A few mallards mixed in here and there. It was kind of funny. You'd see like a spoonie couple with a coot chilling with them. It was kind of funny. And then I seen a few gadwall. I'd like seeing some more mallards. I did see some mallards, but not a ton.
Well, I guess spoonies and gadwall are the ones that can survive anything. Like,
yeah.
They can get the food where another ducks can't.
Yeah. And with this fresh, it being fresh flooded, because you can see
the way. Oh, there's got to be tons of food, right?
I would think. And with the way that you can see all the weeds.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, it's, you can tell this is all freshly flooded. This was all weeds. And now it's, you know, it'll end up, you know, breaking down. But
sure.
Right now there's a lot of, it don't look flooded. And you look, it's like, that's friggin' 10 inches of water. Just tumbleweed growing in it. So, I mean, and it was cool because they're not scared this time of year. So, I'm driving by taking pictures and did that for a couple miles and just ducks upon ducks. And they're just hanging out on the bank and they're just kind of swimming away as I'm driving. Mostly, I've seen some bufflehead, a couple megandrers, lots of ducks, though, and some honkers, of course. This was at Tule Lake. And then went into town in Tule Lake and... the old pillow factory, because they used to make pillows out of the feathers and ducks. That is a duck processing place, and they'd take the feathers and make pillows out of it. You could buy pillows.
That's just so crazy that there's that many ducks being harvested there.
Exactly. There was back in the day. Yeah.
Support an industry like that.
Well, look on YouTube, man. I know Huell Hauser. I remember watching Huell Hauser go up there. The California's Gold guy, he was up there at that pillow factory. Kind of sad now. It's shut down. It's surrounded by a fence because it's literally collapsing upon itself.
Yeah.
But it was, and on their sign, who knows how old this sign is, it's like, in business over 50 years.
Wonder when that, when was that?
I don't know when it shut down, man. I know there's people out there to listen. If you do, go ahead and message me, because, you know, we probably sound naive. It just, we haven't spent any time up there, but that was cool to see. And just everything's named, you know, Goose or Tule, or, you know, it's just big traditional waterfowl culture up there. And we got a bite to eat and this old abandoned hardware store. I think I sent you that picture.
Yeah, you did. For sure you did.
They had some old school waiters in there just chilling. All these old mounts. I mean, this is where everybody come to buy shells. You just think of the stories that got told in there. I think they did taxidermy there. Or you dropped it off there for taxidermy. I don't know. But it was just like, man, I could just, if the building could talk, you know. So that was cool. And so we headed out. The museum was closed. I wanted to go see the local museum, but it was closed. So then we headed over to Klamath, and that was cool. Nobody there.
Now, when you mean Klamath, you're talking about, because there's Upper Klamath and Lower
Klamath.
Klamath, yeah.
National Wildlife Refuge. So I don't know how far, maybe 25 minutes away. It's not super
far. You're right on the border.
The whole time, the road you're running on is right with, even with the border.
Yeah.
Another interesting up there, the cops up there roll around in unmarked cars and go between Oregon and California.
Oh, yeah. Dual jurisdiction.
They got
your worst nightmare.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes. I was very well behaved up there.
Yeah, okay,
you know,
good.
I don't go to banjo country without being a dirtbag. But yeah, that was, and I drove by at Tule Lake, the police station. Their cars have no markings.
Interesting.
And I was, you know, Wikipedia. Yeah, they have a, whatever they call it. They're
like some joint thing, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of makes sense the way they're all, you know, intermingled up there. So, but yeah, you'll see, you know, Dodge Chargers rolling down the road with no markings on it.
Yeah. Of course, it has to be a Dodge Charger.
Oh, yeah. That's what they had.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, what a bunch of dirtbags.
I know. Yeah. I know. They had Chargers, and then I see one four-wheel drive. I don't know if it was an Expedition or what.
I mean to talk bad about law enforcement, but that's a poor choice of vehicles.
Yeah, counties probably don't have a lot of money. They get the scraps. But anyway.
They take the confiscated Chargers from these sideshows and turn them into police cars.
They may have done
now
that.
Now, that's a program I support right there.
I should have took some pictures of them. They're full blacked out. This looked like FBI stuff, dude. Full blacked out, black wheels, whole black car.
Really?
No markings on it. And kind of crazy, yeah. So anyway, we roll out of Tule Lake. Cool old town. I didn't see any bars open. I wanted to hit a bar, but I never saw one open. It was kind of sad to see what probably once was and what it is now. And I'm hoping, man, they keep water on that maybe and come back a little bit.
I mean, I don't know anything about that area, but I know when I talk to old timers, even around here.
Oh, yeah.
There's a guy I used to go to church with years ago. He's an old dude, but he used to, you know, he knew as a duck hunter. And he used to, sometimes he'd bring, you know, old guys, they don't have like smartphones. At least they didn't. They, you know, but so he'd bring in, you know, actual like photographs. Like to church because he knew he'd see me. Hey, come here. I brought this for you. And he'd show me like dry field hunting up there, like ducks.
Really?
Yeah. You know, this is before I was born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's a bunch of cool stuff. Just like looking at that hardware store. It's like looking at these waders. I'm like, they were neoprene, but they were like the old school duck camo.
Yeah.
I'm like, these things are frigging old. They're not 1950s old. They're maybe early 2000s, 90s, but still, it's like,
oh yeah,
I don't know. It just super storied place. I sure hope they
keep
water on
that. Dude, 80s, 90s, that stuff. Man, I wish I would have kept that.
I know. I was like, man, I wonder who owns this stuff because they're sitting on. I mean, not a gold mine, but they're sitting on a little bit of money, you know. And it'd just be cool to see. And who knows what else in that place? A bunch of cool mounts I seen through the window. And
I used to have so much cool camo hats.
Oh, yeah.
Shirts, jackets, bags that I got from, like, garage sales in Marysville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just, like, I had some cool stuff. And I never, like, purposely got rid of it. It just goes away. But, so it was cool. Tule Lake was cool. I, you know, had a good time there and then headed down. Like I say, there's nobody around to talk to. I wanted to talk to people. And just there's nobody around. And it was cold, too. And then so headed down to Klamath. Or, like I say, what Lower Klamath National Wildlife Refuge. And I ran along this ditch, dude. It had a wetland on one side loaded with specks.
Yeah.
Completely loaded with specks. And that's right along the main road there. I think it's, can't remember the name of that road. I think it's 39, something like that.
And I think the goose hunting in that area, it wasn't, it just closed not that long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah, it's open March, long. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're resting up. They need to get back home because they're not nesting. The specks aren't nesting there.
No. Well, the craziest thing I heard, talking about, you know, the year anniversary of our podcast, basically, today, you know, is remember we were talking to Garth and Sean?
Yeah.
And I think one of them mentioned specks nesting, not nesting, but resting in the Pacific on the, like, some of the specks won't even cut across.
Yeah, they just stand on the ocean.
They'll go from Alaska to California.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, and they just come right up the bay and either go up north or head down the delta.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I'd never really considered that before. I've never considered. I know there's like mallards, pintail that'll, you know, that there's people get them out in the ocean. Yeah. I never considered specks out in the ocean.
Yeah, that'd be crazy to see.
That'd be wild.
Out
there
on a boat and all of a sudden this big swarm of specks sits down next to you.
Yeah. You just don't consider those like ocean birds.
No, they're just passing through, though. You know, that's the direct route.
But I mean, so the flyway, you know, it's a mix of how they get here. So
yeah.
Some will come; they'll cut across the ocean, and Some will come the more traditional route, yeah. We'll call it.
Yeah. No, that's pretty interesting for sure.
They can move like quite a bit of miles overnight, right?
Oh, yeah. They can. Yeah. 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 I know like Teal, there's been, you know, radio transmitter shit, Teal leaving Salt Lake and being in the grasslands the next day, you know, 8 hours.
Yeah. They're like little airplanes.
Yeah, exactly. Get on a friggin', you know, a storm front or whatever, and bam, they're here, you know. So.
That's so cool. That's the coolest part about duck hunting is the, you could say, like, global nature of it. So every winter we get visitors from Alaska that come up and...
And they're gone. Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah, they're gone, you know.
They come up in late fall and leave
what's
in spring.
What's funny is I seen zero widgeon, zero greenwing teal.
Really? So yeah. All the teal you saw were all cinnamons?
Yes.
Interesting.
But I have still seen widgeon down here. Outside of Lincoln, it's, you know, we got a lot of water this year.
Yeah, right on the grass.
Yeah, I took a video, if anybody watched.
Right off the highway?
Yeah, right off, well, just outside of Lincoln. It wasn't the main highway. Yeah, there was a ton of snow specks. And then in the water, there's a whole bunch of widgeon still hanging around.
All that, that like, flooded pasture?
Yeah.
Flooded grass?
Yep. I don't know what you call that stuff, but it's kind
of just the lowlands of the...
Yeah, it's kind of pothole type, you know.
Dude, that, I bet back in the day that was great duck hunting.
Oh, I'm sure of it, dude. I'm sure of it. Yeah, I worked at a spot just north of Lincoln that I remember seeing ducks. Just I'd be at the shop out in the middle of nowhere and just seeing these ducks bomb into like. And I remember one day walking out there at lunch, like, what are they going? There's a pond out here, you know.
Yeah.
But so then I seen them specks, and then there's just a canal, you know. A slow-moving canal, moving water, I'm guessing. And I've never seen more cinnamon teal in my life. It was so cool. We're just driving down this canal road, and, oh, man, there's a cinnamon. I remember the first time I saw one. Oh, man. Oh, and, you know, most of them were paired up.
Yeah.
You know, a couple were, you know, two drakes and a hen, or so once in a while, a single drake, and just cinnamon, cinnamon, cinnamon. I mean, it had to be over 50 cinnamon I saw. Just driving this canal. And then there were buffaloheads in there, of course, mallards. Seen a couple of gadwall, which was how I seen zero sprig. None. Now, here's the kind of idiot I am. I go up there, right? Well, you know where my binoculars were, right? They were in my turkey bag I pulled out of my truck. They're usually in my pickup. But they were so close, I didn't even need binoculars. I even got some good pictures of them close enough. But I had never seen that many cinnamon. And they're just in the ditch, just chilling. You know, and their coots hanging out intermixed with them and stuff. It was funny. And then some, a pair of gadwall here and there, and then a pair of mallards, some spoonies. But no, like I say, no widgeon, no pintail. And then leaving the area, I wish I could remember the name of it, but there's another wetland as you get out. You're getting closer, you know, heading out of that place. There was another wetland, and I did see some sprig in there, but not many. I'm like four or five, but they were pintail for sure. But and it wasn't huge, huge numbers of ducks. There are a lot of specks. But
what if the pintail get out of here kind of early?
They get here early, and they get out of here early is what it seems like.
We see them in late goose for sure.
Yeah, oh yeah. But we're into April now, you know.
Yeah, no, we're pretty.
Yeah.
But I've seen snows in May. In the valley.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to this year, too, with all this water around, you know. I don't know. These are more questions I should have asked Jason, a birdiologist.
Right.
Because, these specks stay longer and longer, it seems like, you know.
No, for sure.
But definitely a good trip. I recommend everybody. I mean, for me, it was only a four-hour drive. That ain't shit.
No.
I mean, my Chevrolet is made to run and went up there. Super reasonable prices at that Wild Goose Lodge.
It sounds, dude, I want to go back.
I think
there.
You should. You and your family love hiking. I think this summer, I'm going to go back too, this summer.
I was looking on the maps and, you know, I've driven through Klamath Falls and I was showing you like that Crater Lake area. It's not too far from Klamath Falls. A lot of people actually stay in Klamath Falls and then we'll go to Crater Lake during the day. But I don't know. Next time, that's where, you got to go Crater Lake, bro. That place is crazy. Not so much for ducks. I don't know if there's any. There's probably a couple of birds that sit on that lake, but it's the deepest lake in North America.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something worth. There's so much cool stuff in this part of the world for us.
And Eastern Oregon does not get the attention that the Western Oregon gets.
Yeah, like I said, I'm sure if I was up there in July, it'd probably be a lot more people. But what I say, a lot.
It's not. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not. It's a long way for a lot of people, and it's not. It's off the beaten path, but I recommend everybody go up there.
I mean,
if you like hiking, and like, I've never thought about waterfowl photography. Like, I respect it. I think it's cool. I love seeing the pictures in the magazines.
We've had one of the best waterfowl photographers on the podcast. We have, yes.
We're not talking about you, Steve. We're talking about Jen. But it's true. He's up and coming. Yeah,
she's good.
No, she is great.
Yeah, her Instagram page. That's Full Plume Photography.
She's impressive.
Yeah.
Man. She's impressive. But I mean, I'm like, man, I can see how you get addicted to this, because you'd see these ducks and, oh my gosh, there's a cinnamon. I remember the first couple I see was like, oh, shit, there's a cinnamon. And I get all excited. I'm trying to get a picture, and it flies off. And I'm like, I can understand how you would hunt them just with a camera. You know, I was like, and then they have, it's, I don't know who pays for these things, but there's little, like I say, photo blinds they put up just kind of strategically throughout the refuge. And I guess you could, I don't know if you have a permit or what, but you just go in there and you
bring a duck call. Can you call them?
Maybe so. I mean, you're not shooting them. I don't know what it would hurt. And then you just take these awesome photos of ducks. And this time of year, they're all in full plume.
You could throw out your decoys.
Yeah.
Throw out your coot decoys. Because
they were all super beautiful. You know, this time of year, they're beautiful. You know, so it was really exciting. Especially, you know, I love cinnamon teal anyway. And I've just never seen that big a concentration of them. Just this one ditch, and they're just loaded in there, you know. So, very cool. We should have seen some green wings, but.
Yeah. What about mallards?
I've seen mallards, not in big numbers, though.
But there's always local mallards. You know, I've been seeing them on the way to work.
Yeah. If this continues to happen, it'll be nice, because I'll bet this year, I'll look back on this year and say, oh, man, you should have seen this 2 years ago. There wasn't shit here, you know.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't huge, huge groups. I mean, there was a lot of ducks, but. I'd like to talk to somebody that knows more than that. I'm sure like Brian and Jason would be like, oh, yeah, no, there's nothing up there. Because they're going to go banding up there in July.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know. I was really excited to see it. It's the first time I've ever nerded out this much on the not hunting of it. And it was a lot of fun, man. I'd recommend everybody do it. So
we got to find that Summer Lake area and go hunt there.
Exactly.
Where all my bands are from.
Yes. I brought that up to Brian when I had him on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess some of the tactics they use and stuff is why there's so many gadwalls banded there.
Well, let me tell you, dude, I don't have to look it up. I've had two gadwalls, one mallard from that area. If I shoot a band, it's from Summer Lake.
Well, that's where that spoony I shot
came from. They band a lot of birds there.
They do. They went up there and helped them, I guess, one time. They were up there helping. I guess everybody used a little bit of different tactics and stuff, and I don't think they do the rocket netting up there. So
interesting.
They do it at night, and I guess it's easier to catch the gadwall at night or something.
Yeah. So. Catching ducks, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, super cool, man. Like I say, they brought up maybe tagging along one time on one of them banding missions, and that would be super cool, man. Super cool. So we'll see. I'm sure they got a list a mile long, but it's one of them. Like Tom Harry always says, if you get the invite, you better go.
Yeah. That's
one of them. Sorry, McGrath, I'm taking the day off, you know. Because that would be, you know, once in a lifetime, seeing to be able to see that and help out with that. So.
Well, I had baseball this weekend, both days. Had a full weekend of baseball. It was cool, though. I mean,
you love this time of year.
I do. And, you know, I got to put a shout-out to my son, too. He hit a home run today. I showed you that picture. That thing was out.
Freaking monster home run. Yeah.
Out.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
So, I mean, I had a total proud dad moment. You know, I'm screaming in the video, you know, freaking out. I'm always doing that at his games. You know, I'm just like.
Oh, nothing. Excited as hell watching your kids succeed, you know.
Listen, if by some miracle he makes the majors, great. But nobody is expecting that, right? I'm just like, every time he plays, it's like, it's just cool. I'm just enjoying the moment because I know it's not going to last forever. So every game's a good time, and I love watching it. But I'm not the type of parents like, my kid's going to be, you know, the next Giants play. No, he's probably not. Yeah. Right? But it's still fun.
You can still have a lot of fun with it. And all the, you know, all the stuff he's learned with teamwork along the way, and taking care of his body, and it's stuff that follows you the rest of your life. I love Orion.
And I was telling you, it's cool. You know, now that he's a teenager and, you know, the biggest, the most amount of teams in Little League is T-ball, right? And then every year it gets smaller and smaller.
Less and less, yeah.
His kids drop off, and now you know, we're going to games. We're seeing parents and other kids that he's seen around the field for many years now. And it's just cool. But the reason I say that, you know, I've been busy. I was a little jealous, though, of you, you know, heading up there to check out the flood up. I mean, I think that's such a cool thing to go see.
Oh, yeah. And I think, like I say, I really think you need to take your family up there this summer.
Yeah. I wish I could have gone up this last weekend. I mean, yeah. I just think that's such a cool thing to go see.
It was super unplanned. It's just like, man, you know what? I got to get my butt up there.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see this.
Yeah. Historic. They haven't put water on the refuge for, what is it, 3 years? Is that? That's a long time, dude. That it was, what, 50-something years without being dry?
Yeah.
Something crazy.
Yeah, and then even the water before that was so minimal, it wasn't even nothing to talk about. Now it's full.
But they went years without flooding that. Yeah. I mean, years without it being dry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, no,
that was a historic thing when that went dry. Oh, yeah. Everyone freaked out. They're like, what, the Klamath dry? We're never left
that really thing hoping go dry. We get some answers of why.
Yeah.
Why, what has changed? I've seen just a couple comments on it of why.
Yeah.
It's not the super wet winter. It's changing in practices and stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, so I'm hoping we get
a little
change.
Bit of information from that. I'm really looking forward to that podcast with CWA tomorrow.
For sure. Yeah, I'll listen to that.
I want to know why. Yeah. What's the difference? Because it ain't the two wet winters in a row. It's something that changed it.
Although this year, the water, this is as good as it gets
with
water this year. I mean, even Klamath's always in a – they're not – Klamath and Northeast, they're never as good as the rest of the California is. But right now, if you've seen like Shasta
– I drove by it.
Shasta's full.
Shasta's full. I was like, man, that's a good sight when I was driving by it, you know.
Yeah.
So we're going to have another 500,000 plus acres of rice this year.
Couple years ago, I remember going to Washington on vacation because we go there most summers.
Yeah.
And that Pitt River driving over Shasta to get to, on the 5 looked like a stream.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
You know?
But now it's like 90% full.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, they could fill it to 100, but they got to leave room to make sure that we don't get in
snow melt.
Yeah,
you know?
We can't. It's that fine line between drought and, like, emergency flooding, right?
Exactly. And, yeah, there's still all that snow. I mean, like I said, I woke up this morning.
Yeah.
Friggin' look out the window at 6:30, and it's like, dude, there's 2 inches of snow on the ground. What the heck?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knew nothing. I was like, hey, I didn't see this. And I was like, no, nobody was expecting this. But it was kind of a super localized thing. It was kind of neat. So the little town we're in was snowy there, but like I say, a couple inches.
Yeah.
Roads weren't really affected or anything, but it was cool. And then once got out there and got on the highway, it was nothing. But
no.
It was pretty cool to wake up this morning and then come down here and it's a nice day today. You know, it's kind of like, that's California for you, man.
Well, I'm glad you went up there. Glad you got some pictures and videos and really, really interested to see what this does.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what it does for us down here. I'm excited for all the people that get to go hunt up there. I hope we're a couple.
I hope we're part of it.
I don't know how it works. I don't know nothing. It's bowed in. You know.
We'll have the Cuban refugee.
Yeah, we'll load her up and we'll be going, man. If we're able to get up there, because I don't have a clue how it works. I was hoping to talk to somebody, and I'm sure we'll get some messages. But I assume there's reservations, and I didn't see any. Maybe I wanted the right spot, but I didn't see like a check station anywhere where you can do lotto or anything. So I don't know how that works.
Well, we'll figure it out, but you know, it's
we will.
Folks are going to be a little rusty who haven't hunted. You know, no one's hunted in a while.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there's some folks looking forward to it, man. I'm just talking to people on Instagram. People are ready to get after it again, and I'm just happy for other birds to have all that area.
Yeah.
You know? Now we can start watching because I remember I used to watch the weather up there.
That's right.
Freezing there. All right, they're coming.
That's right.
And it was like clockwork. What, you know, you hit.
Oh yeah,
four days up there under freezing.
Yep.
You're golden.
Yeah. No, like all of us duck hunters, it's like in the valley. You have your local area, and you have that on your weather. But I'd always have Klamath. We all had Klamath on our weather.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You'd see snow in Klamath. You'd see, you know, a couple days of 19 degrees.
Yeah.
Perfect.
High of 22. Like, oh, yeah, here we go. And, you know, it just ain't been that way.
You're like, freeze them birds out.
Yeah, exactly. We're waiting. We're waiting, you know, because it's such a huge area.
But you got to get them there first. You
got to get them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this year they never, they just hung out in Canada till the end.
Yeah, let's not talk about this last season.
Yeah, as time goes on, this will be the season that shall not be named, the one we just went through. But
dude, was it 16, 7? One of those seasons was pretty bad. No, like 14 maybe, 13? I don't remember, but there was a season that 13, 14, 15, one of those seasons. I think 13 maybe. It was bad.
I want to say 13. Yeah. That was the first year. I think it was the first year we had water, but it was the first year of a drought where we had no weather.
Yeah, it was
bad. So there was water, but we had zero weather.
It was bad.
I think I remember that year.
But this last year was worse.
Yeah. This is bad.
I remember thinking that was the worst it was ever going to be.
Yeah. And, I mean, it could always get worse, man.
But I will say, if you remember that year, I think it was, I want to say 13. I'm going to say 13.
I think you're right on that, too.
But it got good after that.
Yeah.
It got real good.
Oh, yeah.
So we could get real good again.
We could. And, you know, this, I asked Birdiologist and Jason about this. How does this affect these super wet years? It's got to be good for the local nests and everything. Yeah. And, yes, it is. But 1 year, you're not going to notice, does it? Now we got 2 years. If we can string 3, 4, 5 of these super wet years together, you'll see a noticeable impact on hunting harvest because –
Oh, good.
You know, but it's not a over. You know, we're thinking, well, there's water, more ducks. We're going to, you know, it's just not that way.
Hey, that's all right. I'm in it for the long haul, dude.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I'm in it till the day I die. So, same here, man. But, well, I guess that's about all we got, huh?
Yeah. Thanks for everyone sticking with us for part two.
Part deux. Right? Remember that Hot Shots part deux?
And 1 year down.
And 1 year down. Yep.
Yeah.
1 year
ahead. I hope we're doing this again next April.
Oh, yeah. I hope we are, too. I hope we do it forever. It's been great. Thank you, all you listeners who have been listening all this time, and some of you OG fans like friggin' old Camo Cam 92.
That's
He's been there for long haul.
Oh, yeah.
You know, David Rank. I'm just saying, some of you I know I'm forgetting, but, I mean, I've been, But some of you guys have been there since the very beginning. And Brad Jones, for one. You know,
thank you
guys so much for all this. And
it's so cool, man. We just started talking and putting it out there on the internet and you know, we get some people listen to some random guys talk about duck hunting in the valley.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we purposely make this Northern California waterfowl podcast and a little bit of SoCal. There's somebody we'd talk to in SoCal, too. But we're not for the big game. We don't give a shit what they're doing in Arkansas. No. We don't care about what they're doing in Missouri. We don't care what they're doing in Texas. This is a Northern California waterfowl podcast, and that's what we're going to keep it as. Along with a little bit of shit talking and, you know, debauchery stories here and there. But
it's been a good time.
It's been an awesome time. Met great people. And here's to another year, buddy. And
that's right.
If you like it, rate and review on Instagram or iTunes. Not Instagram. iTunes, Spotify, wherever the hell else you listen. And we'll be back next week. We'll try real hard to get a guest in here. It's always tough scheduling stuff, but we're going to give it hell. And hopefully we report on somebody getting a damn turkey. So
that's right.
All right. For Robert and me, we're gone. We'll talk to you all next week. Thanks.